Who can tell me what song Sister Lois was just playing?
Day by Day.
Day by Day. Very good. Welcome to Lock Haven Baptist Church for our Wednesday evening service. And Brother David Johnson, would you open our service with prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we're so pleased to be in your house tonight. We thank you for visiting us here, taking us down to the traffic. Appreciate the Lord doing that. We thank you for our scripture press. We thank you for the young people of the church. And we thank you for everybody that's coming to this church. In Jesus, amen.
Amen. Take your songbook, turn to page number 358. You may remain seated as we sing Won't It Be Wonderful There, 358. Sunday, that will be March 3rd, and then the following Sunday, March the 10th, is the change in time. The daylight savings time begins spring forward, so we lose an hour, and so be sure to set your clocks for that. Take your songbook, turn to page number 346. You may remain seated as we sing, I Know My Name Is There, 346.
I know.
I wasn't sure, because we've done it other ways. And I wrote down 6-8, 6-8. Let's see, what does that mean? It means six beats to a measure and an eighth note gets one count. But I was doing a three, you know, pattern. So 6-8, that would be, that, Brother Price? Oh, okay. Watermelon, watermelon, watermelon. Just generic leading. Okay. But you did very well, even though the leader was a little bit lost there. All right, let's look at our prayer list. Continue to pray for one another, our pastor and his family, our deacons, the various church ministries, including Lock Haven Scripture Press. Continue to pray for our country, our law enforcement personnel, our elected officials in courts, those serving in our military, and the Supreme Court. Remember those with unspoken requests, Rhonda Toombs, Chucky Stacy, Linda Burgos, Joyce Bass, Daryl Stacy, Mike Nelson, Kimberly Neely, James Coney, Myra Neely, Cindy Yarborough, Miriam Varela, Jimmy Kowiski, Donna Barkley, Rena Burney, Becca Bond, Barbara Jones, Don Corwin, Harry Neely, and Amanda Mann. We're praying for the salvation of the Morales family, Roberto Quinones, Roger Yates, James Yates, the Foremans, Paul Barhola, Sharon Lee, and Heather Callahan. Remember our missionaries, the Dell family in Florida, the Dorr family in Mexico, the Griffin family in the Philippines, the McKinley family in Ireland, the Martin family in Argentina, Owens family in the Republic of Georgia, Owens family in Bulgaria, the Peterson family in Uganda, Roskina family in India, Skolnick family in Thailand, Shapno family in Greece, Thornsley family in Indiana, Werner family in India. Those with the miscellaneous needs, Linda Thrall, the Smith family, the Masto family, the Shaker family, the Robbins family, the Lott family, the Schock family, the Rachel family, Bill Lake, the Bible Club at Dr. Phillips High School, Laura Newby, and also the Cummings family. And then on the medical side, remember those with cancer, Ellen Rankin, Christopher Russell, Rick Rivera, Randy Tony, Flor Overes, Liz Tyndall, Phil Newport, Daryl Brumfield, Sharon Williamson, Rachel Creed, Dory Ogden, Chad Blake, and Hector Alvarado. And then those with other medical needs, Myra Neely, Elsie Tony, Ruth Sandifer, Kevin Jackson, Tina Lindahl, Katrina Lindahl, Peter Vitale, Brett Toombs, Myrtle Hackney, Adam Smith, Jerry Eastler, Charlie Eastler, Robert Mann, Devin Jackson, Ryan Lindahl, Wayne Loyless, Mike Simpson, Christine Jackson, Devin Jackson, Peter Heisey, Katie McElrath, William Zinker, Brenda Tony, Emily Havers, Chris Yates, Alyssa White, Joe Moore, Julio Valentin, then we added Francis and also Jackie Swagman, and Miss Cindy was giving an update on Miss Jackie, and she's very weak, so remember Miss Sister Swagman, Miss Jackie. Are there updates on these or others to add to the prayer list tonight, Sister Timms? Okay. Remember Hattie with liver failure? Yes, Sister Nelson.
Yeah, this is here, Gabby, G-A-B-I, the 4-year-old,
who's going to
have a couple of brain surgeries.
Okay. And somehow that got removed, I guess. Okay, thank you. Yes, Sister Brother Biz.
I'd like to request prayer for a brother who had difficult heart surgery.
Okay. All right. Remember that.
And also, Kumi was traveling to London to be with her best friend whose husband passed away due to leukemia.
Okay. Yes, certainly. Brother Corwin?
I have a granddaughter. She's starting her second trimester, but she's having difficulty with her pregnancy. Her name is Leah Inglis. And then Carol.
Okay. Leah Ingalls?
English.
English. Okay, add Leah English to your prayer. let's have a time of prayer. You're welcome to pray where you are, or you can come to the front after a few moments with Robert Burney, if he would close in prayer. petitions and our prayers before you, Lord. Lord, a holy and righteous God. And Lord, as we bow on our knees here tonight, Lord, as we bow our heads in prayer, Lord, we do come with reverence. Lord, come with thanksgiving. Lord, asking you that your will be done on all these requests that we bring before you here tonight, Lord. Lord, I do pray for those on our prayer list, Lord. For those that are battling cancer, some battling heart ailments, some on their deathbeds, Lord. I pray that those that are closest to passing on, Lord, would know you as Lord and Savior, Lord, before they pass on into eternity. Lord, I pray that they would trust in you, that precious blood that you shed, Lord, for the atonement of sin. Trusting in you would be able to have eternal life, Lord. Lord, for others on the prayer list, Lord, our nation is on the prayer list. Lord, she is in such turmoil. Lord, such a division in our nation, Lord. Lord, I pray that, Lord, we as Christians, Lord, I pray you give them wisdom and discernment, Lord. serve the mighty God. Lord, you are the great physician, Lord, the healer. Lord, you walked upon this earth and you rose the dead from their grave, Lord. You touched and you healed. Lord, we ask that you would get the honor and glory for the healings that you do, Lord. Lord, as we come into this time, Lord, we celebrate your coming out of the grave, Lord. I pray that through that story, Lord, the people would be humbled and, Lord, see that there is a God that loves them, a God that defeated death, a God that's sitting on the right hand throne of the Lord God Almighty. Lord, the one that we can trust, the one that we can come to, Lord, with our request. Lord, the one that hears us whenever we call upon you, Lord. Lord, again, we just give you thanks. We can never thank you enough for those things that you've done for us. You bless us beyond measure, Lord. I thank you for all those blessings. So, Lord, as we continue here tonight, Lord, help us in song and through the study of your word, lift up our Lord and Savior Jesus. In his name we pray.
Take your songbook, turn to page number 385. Let's stand together as we sing. No, 350. 350. Stand together as we sing in the sweet by and by. Good to have all you here tonight. I trust you had a good day in the Lord. Good to have visitors with us tonight. We had a good crowd in the youth zone. We had 20 teenagers tonight. Praise the Lord for that. And looked like the youth club, Discovery Club, must have had about close to the same. That was good. And I believe that I skipped past half my sermon on refuge, City of Refuge. Was that on Wednesday night or was that on Sunday night?
That was Sunday night.
Was Sunday night?
Yes, sir.
And I knew it. I did. So we're going to go. I hope you can remember way back Sunday night, two Sunday nights ago, because we got to finish this app. So let's go to Joshua chapter 20, and I'll catch us back up real quick and get back, finish this up tonight. Remember, there are six cities of refuge, and all six cities have a representation or likeness to that of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, Kadesh, holy, or holiness, that is the definition, the name, that's what that name means. And surely the Son of God is holy. And so Shechem, which is the second one mentioned, is a shoulder or that which bears or carry. And we looked in Isaiah 53 and we saw in verses 4 and 6 that he bore our sorrows and our griefs and our sins were laid upon him. So there's a representation that way. Then Hebron. Is fellowship, or from a root word meaning to join or bind together, and we certainly enjoy fellowship through the Lord Jesus Christ when we are saved and we're in right standing and we're bound together by the blood and the Holy Spirit live within us. And then there's the Bazaar, that's a stronghold, a rock or a fortress, and he certainly is. The Lord is certainly our rock, and he is our fortress. And like Psalm 3 says, says there about midway through, it says he's the lifter up of our head. And I tell you, there's times we need to be lifted up, and so he is our refuge. And Ramoth is exaltation, and God surely has exalted his Son. He is seated at the right hand throne, and he is making intercession for us. And then Golan is joy. And boy, we enjoy the joy of the Lord when we are walking right and we're saved. And we trust that Christ is our Lord and Savior. So let's go back to Joshua chapter 20. And we'll read verses 2 through 9 and we'll finish up this here look at the city of refuge, the cities of refuge. Joshua chapter 20, verse 2 and through 9. Speak to the children of Israel, saying, appoint out of you cities of refuge, whereof I spake unto you by the hand of Moses, that the slayer that killeth any person unawares or and unwittingly may flee thither. And they shall be your refuge from the avenger of blood. And when he that doth flee unto one of these cities shall stand in the entering of the gate of the city, and shall declare his case in the ears of the elders of that city, and they shall take him into the city unto them, and give him a place, that he may dwell among them. And if the avenger of blood pursue after him, then they shall not deliver the slayer unto his hand, because he smote his neighbor unwittingly and hated him not before time. Verse 6, and he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation of the judgment, for judgment, and until the death of the high priest, that shall he in those days. Then shall the slayer return from and come into his own city and into his own house, into the city from whence he fled. And they appointed Kadesh in Galilee in Mount Naphtali, and Shechem in the Mount Ephraim, and Kirjath Arba, which is Hebron in the mountain of Judah. And on the other side of Jordan, by Jericho eastward, they assigned Bazar and the wilderness upon the plain out of the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth and Gilead out of the tribe of Gad, Golan, Bashan out of the tribe of Manasseh. These were the cities appointed for the children of Israel, for the strangers sojourneth among them, that whosoever killeth any person at unawares might flee thither, not die by the hand of the avenger of the blood until he stood before the congregation. So the Lord appointed cities of refuge, six of them, three on one side of the river, three on the other, so that if you was working or you was going down the road, something happened by accident, and then all of a sudden you took the life of someone, you were able to flee to this place of refuge, one of the six cities, whichever one was closest to you, and then you were able to stay there until judgment, and then when the congregation of the city would judge you, if they found it to be an accident, that you didn't mean it in malice, then you were safe, you could remain there, but there was a catcher, you had to remain there until the death of the high priest. Well, you might be hoping that he may be an old guy, or you might be there a while. You know, you'd be there for a long time, but that was the way it had to be. That's what God put forth, and so you had to stay there until then. Now, if you decided on your own, you wanted to get out and go your own way before the death of the high priest, then you were at the mercy of the avenger of blood, the nearest kinsman, the one that was appointed to take your life for the life you just took. And so if he found out about you and he killed you, he was innocent. It was just that way. Now, if he was to enter into the city and was to come to take your life, then he would be found guilty. And then he would be put to death for his crimes against the system that God had put up there. Now, listen. Christ is our city of refuge. The Bible says, listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. And we had no hope. We had no answer. Our sin, it needed to be atoned. It had to be paid for. And if Christ had not died on the cross of Calvary and not shed his blood and his innocent blood for our sins, dear friend, we would have no place to run. And the roaring lion, the devil himself, Lucifer, would have free reign in us, not only on this earth, but dear friend, for eternity. But because Christ did and was obedient, and he was slain, as it said in Revelation 13:8, it was so fixed in the mind of God that in Revelation 13:8, God says it in such a way that before the foundation of the earth, the Lamb, Jesus Christ, was already slain. That's what Revelation 13:8 says. Before the foundation, before God said, let there be light, before God created the heavens and the earth. I mean, before then, dear friend, it was so set, even before the fall took place, God had already put in a plan. Well, you're talking about grace. You're talking about mercy. And yet he still formed man. He could have stopped, dear friend. He could have walked around in fellowship with giraffes and chimpanzees. But he chose to fellowship with men, to create men in his likeness. Amen. He could have stopped, and man, he could have had Toucan Sam and a falcon land on his wrist. Wow, look how neat that is. Hey, birdie. Well, they didn't know how to talk. Those serpents come walking and a-speaking. So somehow or another, this serpent learned to talk. We know he's full of the devil. It was the devil speaking through him. But some of you act like your dogs are more important than your husbands. Y'all talk to them a whole lot more than them than you do your own husband.
The husband come home and put your dirty clothes over there and you spend time over here. And the husband gets up there and the dog jumps on his lap and he talks with the dog and forgets he's got a spouse. But God could have stopped with just the animals. I'm telling you, there's some beautiful animals. And there never would have had to be a plan. God's desire is that he would create something with an eternal soul that would fellowship with him and talk to him on his own and on your own and free will fellowship. God came down to the cool of the garden. Can you imagine, dear friend? God came down time and time and time again, knowing that one day when he came down and entered into this thing called time, the fellowship with man, that there would be that day when man would be hiding. And that when he did step out there, he would step out there in what he attempted in covering his own nakedness. And God knew it wouldn't be enough. And Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Our city of refuge is the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, we could run to this church, we could run to that denomination, we could run to this here religious ceremony, dear friend, and it is not going to do us a bit of good. We have to run to Jesus. He is our city of life. Look at, the Bible says in Matthew 11:28, if you're burdened, you're heavy, you're laden down, Jesus said, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. Now, the city of refuges in the Old Testament, they were not for willful offenders. The city of refuge in the Old Testament, different if you had taken somebody's life in malice and you took their life out of hatred or spite, you were a willing offender, and the city of refuge was not for you. Oh, dear friend, what a great difference. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a great difference in the Old Testament city of refuge and the city of refuge we know as Christ Jesus the Lord. But if you, in the Old Testament, dear friend, even if you were a willing offender, Brother Jim, you could run in, but you had to be judged. It was accessible to all. Jesus is accessible to all. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, whosoever will. You could take somebody's life in malice and you could run over there to the city of refuge, but as soon as they judged you, you had to be put out. Oh, dear friend, whosoever comes unto him, he will in no wise cast out. In no wise cast out. There's another difference that I like about our city of life and their city of life, city of refuge, I'm sorry, their city of refuge, there's another difference I like is there you were set free and you were welcome to leave when their high priest died. My high priest lives on. Amen. Forever and ever, for eternity, my high priest shall live. Hey, when he rose from the grave, he rose from the grave and conquered death. I don't have to leave. I'm always in Christ. My Christ, my high priest, lives forever. That's a great thing to think about. Now listen. Back then, if you decided to depart from the city of refuge before the high priest died, remember what I told you, the avenger of blood, he can have free rein at you. Well, Well, here's the case right here. Here's something we got to think about. My sonship, my standing in Christ is fixed and sure. Because I've been given a portion, I've been given the Holy Spirit of God as a earnest of my inheritance. Here's the down payment. But there's this thing, dear friend, about protection that's getting out there. And too many of us as God's children, dear friend, we step outside of the protection of our Christ, our city of refuge, by backsliding, by doing things that we know are definitely against the Word of God. And when we do that, like here's a great illustration, dear friend. Lot did not have to go to Sodom, and it cost him. Abraham gave Lot a choice. Abraham could have, he said, you choose here or you choose there, whichever way. And was Lot made his choice upon those plains and how well watered they are and how all the beauty it looked and the enjoyment that he thought he could get fleshly. He set his tent facing toward Sodom. And he would do all of his little shepherding and herding and gathering up and he'd go sell his goods down in Sodom and Gomorrah. He saw how wicked it was before he moved off down in there. Hey, listen to me. The prodigal son did not have to end up in the hog pen eating slop. He saw well prior to that. He saw his funds dwindling. He saw he had good friends while he had a big pot. But as the pot shrunk, his friends shrunk. He could have stopped. What happens? Backsliding. Getting out there. Doing things you're not supposed to. The pull and the draw. And with the downward spiral of life, the way of the transgressor is hard, dear friend. You're saved. God came looking for a lot. Got him up out of there, didn't he? The prodigal son come to his senses and said, Lord, have mercy, what am I doing? In my father's house, the servants are eating a whole lot better than this. I'll just go and beg to be a servant. When he came back, he was still a son. The New Testament tells us, even after God came, got Lot. We know the Old Testament story. And dragged him out. His wife turned to a pillar of salt. And his two daughters got him drunk. And he had children by them. And there's been a reaping of trouble since that day in the land of over there in the east, in the Middle East. It's been a reaping of trouble because of that. You think that what you do don't have an effect? You know, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that there's a great cloud of witnesses. Imagine with me just for a moment. If you can fathom with me just for a moment. There's a great cloud of witnesses. Now, the Bible says in the New Testament that Lot, it vexed his righteous soul. Can you imagine all this trouble since that time forward that Lot has been witnessing what's going on because of the choice he made? Oh, the tears ain't wiped away yet, dear friend. There's coming a day. There'll be no more sickness, no more pain, no more heartache, no more trouble. I'm not sure. I'm not saying that God has allowed Lot to see everything. There's a great cloud of witnesses. I'd like to think, and I can't say that it's true or not true. I'd like to think that God says, okay, you see the good stuff that's going on. I don't think that's how it works, though, dear friend. There's a great cloud of witnesses. And there's been a whole lot of trouble. But listen, Lot's soul was righteous. A whole lot of trouble. the city of refuge. The prodigal son left the city of refuge, his protection of his father. What happens with us when we get out there? We choose by choice. Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't move. God is, he's there. He's always holding. He doesn't move. What happens is we decide. And dear friend, the further we get away from God, if this is God, the further we get away from Him, the more troublesome waters. The more difficulties, the more heartaches, the more pains. The more, listen, you're still His child. Come back. Come back. You know, brothers, you know, I'm telling you that there was folks in the Old Testament that tried to leave the cities of refuge before the high priest died. They tried it. Well, you didn't have to listen. If they tried it, they didn't have to say, well, I'm 6 miles out here now. I might as well let the avenger of blood kill me. No, they could run back. They could get back. You don't have to stay where you're at. God's welcomed them with open arms. Amen. Come back home. Come back to the Lord. Run as fast as you can. Here's a thought, and we'll close with this. I watched a documentary not too long ago on the World Wars, and when there were those bombs, planes were coming and dropping those bombs on cities after cities. Do we understand this, dear friend, that in those wars there was more civilians died than we can imagine? It was more. It got so bad that they started building bomb shelters, didn't they? They built them, they had them stop, try to keep some of the civilians alive because it was bad. Okay, it would be like if we were there, and we were in that time frame where those planes would come, sirens would come. They had night watchmen that was out and make sure lights was low. I mean, it got really difficult. But they had these bomb shelters, and they built them. And they would sound the sirens and the alarms, and when the planes were coming, when radar would pick them up, and you had to. The bomb shelter was no good unless you got in it. It was built. It was stopped. It had a little bit of provision. But if you hear the siren, you hear the night watchman blowing his whistle or his horn or whatever he had, and you just got up and said, hey, dude, why don't you be quiet? But you know, I'm trying to sleep. The bomb shelter did you absolutely no good, dear friend, unless you got in it. And I'm going to tell you, dear friend, our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is important. We hear the warnings. We hear the sirens. The Holy Spirit hollers at us and wakes us up. Hey, it's high time to get up out of it. Be righteous a little bit. Lest we live in holiness, dear friend. The bombs all around us are going to get us. You're still His child. There's a horrific story in 2 Corinthians. If you just go to read it. Matter of fact, it says sort of like this, if I got it right. It said,